May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Please be seated. The passage from Isaiah, the year the king Uzziah dies and Isaiah sees the glory of God and we hear the holy, holy, holy for the first time. It's a passage that we're so familiar with. I had a hard time getting the sermon rolling this week because I've heard it so many times, and you've heard it so many times, and somebody put it into our favorite hymn, and all of that. That week before, the sermon wrote itself by noon on Monday, and I was done. Sometimes they do that. This week it didn't. I had to sort of pull it out. But I looked, as I like to do, sort of look at it with the eye of how would I set this up if I were making a stage production out of it or a movie. I was looking at the seraphim, those six-winged creatures that fly above and surround the throne of God and sing that holy, holy, holy. And we're told by Isaiah that with two of their wings they cover their face, and with two they cover their feet, and with two they fly. And I don't know if Isaiah meant this when he wrote it, but I want to use those three sets of wings as a way to reflect on our relationship with God. And it struck me finally as I read this week that those three sets of wings correspond to three realities in the life and ministry of Isaiah as we have this story today. So Isaiah sees the Lord high and uplifted. He unpacks the scene for us and we can reconstruct it in our own minds. And here is little insignificant human frail Isaiah standing there in the midst of this indescribable scene. And he says, "Woe is me. I am a man of unclean lips. I live among a people of unclean lips. And yet my eyes have looked on the Lord, the God of hosts." My eyes shouldn't see this. I don't belong here. The grace of God to know that he was a sinner yet had been given this incredible privilege to see the Lord of hosts. This is the first set of wings. That set of wings with which we cover our eyes. Knowing, yes, we're supposed to be in God's presence. We'll get to that. I shouldn't be here. By rights, I have no right to look upon the glory and the miracle and the wonder of the Almighty God. We cover our faces. With the second set of wings, the cherubim cover their feet. I am a man of unclean lips and I live among a people of unclean lips. My station in life, where I stand, is unworthy. My eyes are unworthy to look upon God. Where I stand is unworthy to be in the presence of God. He knows this is not where he belongs. They cover their feet. But the story doesn't end there with, "I don't belong here, I'm a sinner, I shouldn't see God," because we could end the story there and never be willing to enter into worship of God again, never understand the mercy of God who invites us in despite us being unworthy, because thanks be to God, there's a third pair of wings. With that third pair of wings, the seraphim fly. This is the grace of God, beginning first to know you shouldn't look, to two, you don't belong here, but number three, God has given you the power to do the ministry he's given you to do. With the third set of wings, those seraphim stay around the throne of God and they sing to one another. And by the third set of wings, Isaiah realizes there's a mission. And God says, "Who can I send and who will go for us?" And Isaiah stands up and says, "Send me." That grace that made him stand up to do the work of God, even though he is entirely unworthy, that's the grace of the third pair of wings. Sometimes we get to the point where we're in those first two sets and I'm unworthy and I'm no good and God won't forgive me, and we forget that God gives us that third set just as he gave them to the angels. Often the reading stops there. Here am I, send me. And I could have left it off. It was optional to keep reading, but I said, oh, this stuff about Jerusalem being desolate is just too much fun. I have to preach about that. Because here's this wonderful, glorious thing that God gives Isaiah, and Isaiah sees God, and here's the angels, and then he says, I want you to go preach to these people, and I want you to stop their ears up, and I want you to harden their hearts. I want to make sure they don't understand a thing. I want to make the land desolate. I'm going to drive everybody away. What kind of God is this? Again, after Isaiah, Isaiah prophesied the destruction of Jerusalem by the Babylonians, and it came to pass, where they're carried away into captivity and their land was taken over by other people. But Isaiah had come to the realization that he, by rights, did not belong in the presence of God. And God's telling him, I'm going to have you preach to the people until they are exiled and banished from the center of the land. It says the center of the land, the midst of the land, will be so desolate. What's the center of the land of the people of God? The very temple of God in Jerusalem. I'm going to exile them till they come to understand they don't have any right to be near me either. I want you to convince them of what you just learned. Then I'll bring them back, because restoration, return, reconciliation, that's always part of the story. And we don't hear that in this reading. But that's always part of the prophecy, and we know historically God brought them back. But this preaching of desolation, that if you think about the very center and the throne and the presence of God and the glory that sat in that temple, that they had become complacent and thought they deserved it and thought they owned it and thought they controlled it. I wouldn't want to make that assumption about God, though I'm sure I have. You probably have too at some point or other. Do we need at some level to be exiled to come to the realization that when we're brought in, we should be covering our faces and covering our feet? And yet, even though unworthy, we need to exercise that third grace of God, which gives us the power to do his will, that third set of wings. Peter, story of the fish. I've heard a lot of sermons on this one too, and they all focus on the fish. No, not all of them. Peter had to be really humble to fall down at Jesus' feet in a boat full of fish. They see this miracle. Depart from me, Lord, he says. What's that but I don't belong in your presence? I am sinful. These are the first two pairs of wings. The same thing Isaiah says. Symbolized by the wings. I shouldn't be near you. Now, Isaiah says, I shouldn't have come into the temple. And Peter says, you need to get away from me. But the effect is the same. I shouldn't be near you. Because I'm a sinner. Peter comes to this realization. He has to come to it several times. Comes to this realization again after he denies Jesus. Okay, he has to do it again, but he got there. But Jesus doesn't say, you're right, I'm the Son of God. You know, you have no right to be near me. Get out of the boat. No. He says, stop being afraid. Don't be afraid of the fact that I am the Almighty God and you're in front of me. That shouldn't scare you. You have to acknowledge it, but don't be afraid of it. And yes, you're a sinner, but don't be afraid of that either. Because from now on, I'm giving you something to do. You're going to go catch people. By the grace of God, I know I'm not worthy to look on the mysteries of Christ. By the grace of God, I know that I shouldn't be in his presence. By the grace of God, he's given me that third set of wings to do what he sends me to do. He's done the exact same thing for you. Take the cherubim that fly in the throne room of God. When you come to him, cover your face and cover your feet by the humility that his grace gives you, but by his grace, fly. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.